Oh, ladies and gentlemen, bonjour, dickheads. Salut les Français, cet épisode va majoritairement être en anglais ce soir. Donc les sous-titres vont être disponibles normalement à la fin de la semaine. Revenez sur YouTube pour voir les sous-titres English speakers. This is mainly going to be in English today. So let's have some fucking fun. Welcome to another episode of Paul Taylor's Happy Hour Live. Happy hour? I'm not fucking happy. I'm angry. I'm always fucking angry. Oh, and we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, we're live on YouTube. I think that we probably are live on Facebook as well. Let me just double check that we're live on the Facebook. We are live on Facebook and Twitch. Oh, Twitch. Little old Twitch. Maybe we're live on Twitch as well, ladies and gentlemen, we are live on all three platforms. Welcome to another show, ladies and gentlemen. I can see you on fucking YouTube. El Medi on YouTube says I'm happy. On Twitch, Fabrice Mahari says hello. And on Facebook, Julie Mamotte Coulen says je viens de vous voir dans Aline. Well, thanks very much. I did my first film in France, but that is not the case. We're not talking about that tonight. Unless you decide to. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to bring on my guest for this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the wonderful Mr. Nathaniel Drew! All right! That was fucking loud. Oh, there he is. Yeah, you can.
Do I need coasters?
Yeah, we should have got I didn't realize you hadn't finished your beer.
Oops.
Already. Well, I need to get myself a beer then. In that case,
let me take over while you get yourself a beer. I'll take. I got this.
All right. So, the people who have watched this show before, this is officially you're the person who's been on here the most amount of times.
I thought Jay had that title.
No, because I mean, I think he's been in the studio on a live the most amount of times. But a lot of his lives were the second part, which nobody knows about. You're the person that next to your name has a 3.0.
Oh, wow. Just like my GPA. That's a joke.
What is I don't care.
I could explain that. I guess you get, yeah, not the same system.
I will get a beer on my own while you have your beer here. While I get a beer, for the people that might not know who you are, because, you know, there's new people that watch us all the time. Just present yourself. Introduce yourself. Who are you? What you do? Blah, blah, blah.
On it. Yes, sir. Let's check back in whenever you're... Okay, yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Nathaniel. I go by Nathan in my personal life. I don't know why I just mentioned that. Usually people know me as Nathaniel. I am a content creator on YouTube, among other things, working on a book, What YouTuber Isn't, right?
You're working on a book?
Yes, so that's on the way. And I'm a general enthusiast of life. And I want the energy to be high this evening.
It's already high.
Let's have a good time.
Let's have a good time. Cheers, by the way.
Yes.
Santé.
Cheers. And cheers to all of you if you're drinking anything, whether it's alcohol or not.
Alcohol or non-alcoholic. We're fine with that. By the way, Nate, what drink are you drinking? What beer is that?
So this is the Paul Taylor's Hoppy Hour. Let's get that.
I got to close my face. There we go.
Yes, perfect.
It is a beer, ladies and gentlemen, that I have made with the help of Une Petite Mousse and Brasserie Viva. You can buy this beer, if you so wish, at paultaylorcomedy.com/beer. Just saying. I'm drinking Desperados because my best mates bought me. See the thing that's just behind you over here? Look at the screen. See this thing here, this black thing here?
Yeah.
It's like an actual beer pump.
Wow, okay.
So anyway, hi. Hello, everyone.
This is great, by the way. I'll give my endorsement.
Oh, right, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I'm actually liking it a lot.
Ah,
yeah.
Good. I enjoy it a lot. I just thought it would be easier to do the pump beer. The pump beer? Jesus Christ. Right.
Hello, everybody.
The point in these lives, ladies and gentlemen, is that you ask us questions. You decide what happens during this live. So we already caught up a little bit before the live.
A little bit, but it's actually funny. There's a whole bunch of, every time we get onto a juicy topic, it's like, save it for the live.
Hey, look, here's a good question. Ryan Hunter says, Yes Theory, Nathaniel Drew and Paul Taylor. No, Nathaniel and Paul Taylor. We just talked about Yes Theory.
Oh, that can absolutely
20 minutes
happen.
Ago. I don't know who they are. Like, I've never met them. You have, but I enjoy what
I
they
can
do.
Change that. We can change that.
We can make it happen. So let us know, what do we do for this live, ladies and gentlemen? Alexandra off of YouTube, off of Facebook, says, cheers, guys. Alexandra Diaz Fernandez, salud or saúde. I'm just going racist by the last name. I reckon it's Portuguese. I reckon, Alexandra, you're Portuguese or Brazilian or from a Portuguese-speaking country. Saúde, because...
Okay. There you go.
That's just my guess.
Why is somebody going, Theo... Well,
what's Theo saying?
There you go. Merci d'avoir bougé le sofa.
Merci d'avoir bougé le sofa. Alors, so there was a bit
off.
So there was controversy last week, Nate.
Oh.
So you met the girls downstairs.
Yeah.
Who are all very single and well up for it if you are. But basically, I told the crew last week that because Fanny, my producer, has employed like two new people, mm-hmm. this is now their break room. This is where they have lunch now, the team from down the stairs. My. And they had rearranged it so that the sofa was against this wall and the two chairs, that this chair over here and the chair that's behind you were, and it looked weird on the image. And everyone was like, the fucking sofa, Paul, what happened to the sofa? So I've moved it back. Okay. Tio Chino, thanks very much. And most of you who are watching don't care about the sofa, but that's okay.
Hello to all of you. Wow, there's a lot of comments. I love it. I'm happy to do, I don't know how you usually do this, but I'm happy to do, have you ever done like a speed round? Like speed answering questions?
I do this almost every live.
Every live, okay.
But what happens is the speed questions end up being long questions. But let's do a speed round of questions. Fabrice says, what sofa? Nate, push that way. This sofa, that sofa there. This one here. There you go.
That one right there.
Fucking that one right there, mate. Let's go. Questions.
What's up? Hold on, I saw. What's up, Nathaniel? How did you feel when you saw Amar with?
Hold on.
When you saw Amar with the new passport.
Hold on.
That was your first Amar speech.
Hold on, Eli Mouterde. What's up? How did you feel when you saw Amar with a new passport? Okay, so I don't know what the context
okay,
of this is.
Can I explain this? Okay, so basically, this is a really hilarious comment to me. Yes Theory have another channel called Seek Discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
That's their merch brand too. I guess I'm sort of plugging it right now, honestly. And they posted a video. They post lots of great videos on there where, recently Amar, one of the founders of Yes Theory, got a passport. Okay. He had to go through this whole complicated process because he's Egyptian and that doesn't give you access to many countries in the world.
I see.
So we had this really fun day in Paris.
Oh, is this the video?
Yeah. There
okay,
you go.
Let me just share the screen with
the
people.
That's the Yes Theory video.
Hold on. Move slightly to the outside so that you can keep talking.
Okay, on their other channel, Seek Discomfort, they posted just a little video where they were surprising him, and I was in the video just hanging out, okay?
Okay, so and Seek Discomfort, this video here.
Here's the hilarious thing about this, okay? Surprising Amar to celebrate his new passport.
Okay, so you're in that first video.
So I'm in that video. And like, it feels like 50% of all the comments are exactly what Ellie's asking me about right now, which was, I freaked out when, so Amar is famous for doing speeches, okay? And he like people really kind of, Yes Theory's on, okay, so they're.
Oh, Yes Theory's on! Yes Theory!
So,
guys! So, fucking hell! Sorry, I'm fanboying right now that these
really?
Guys are on. Fuck, of course I am.
I was just hanging out with Thomas. He probably is watching because I told
you
him.
You told me
he
just moved to Paris, mate. Yeah. We need to hook up. Oh, fucking hell! God. I've been following Jesus Christ.
Okay.
All right.
So
anyway,
let
sorry,
me finish
I
my story. So Amar is really eloquent with his speeches, and right before he starts his speech, I get really excited. I'm just like, oh, this is my first Amar speech.
Hold on. Sorry. I just had a COVID.
Oh my God.
I had to get a COVID injection today because I'm going to England tomorrow.
My apologies.
And it fucking hurts.
Sorry about that, bro.
I'm fully vaccinated, but I needed an extra one. So maybe we should have swapped seats. Hit me in the stomach. Hit me in the face. I'd rather. Sorry. I interrupted you again.
So I was just like, okay, you're going to freak out when you see this. Yes, let's hang, Thomas. So he's down.
will hang. Thomas is your name now.
So anyway, long story short, everybody was commenting about my enthusiasm in that video. Passport. Yeah, and it's arrived in all the way into this live stream. I love that.
That's crazy. That's Carlos Camejo says he's American, very touchy-feely. I know, but I didn't prepare the old...
That's funny. That's not my stereotype of Americans. Like, Latin people are more touchy-feely.
You're American with Latin roots.
Right, right. But when I think of Americans, I don't know. Big generalization. Hundreds of millions of people, so...
It's the hug. That's why, because French people... The hugging, right. The French people think the hug is more intimate and more touchy-feely than la bise.
Yeah.
I was just making sure the sound, because this cable is weird.
Sorry.
Anyway, so Americans are very huggy when they say hello.
Yeah.
So, as are English people, and French people find that more intimate than la bise. Would you not agree, French people? Yeah. I don't agree, but that's why Americans have this idea. And to be fair, like the Americans that I've met in my life that I'm good friends with, they're all a lot more touchy-feely than English people. Misha Luna says, I feel very ignorant because I have no idea who Yes Theory is. Check out their YouTube channel, subscribe to them immediately, and watch all of their videos. So super cool.
I'm curious, have you...
You touched my shoulder
almost
again.
You
can touch the top. It's the side that hurts right now.
I have an interesting question, and this could be a topic of conversation that we could explore here, but... I've been happy to start to see la bise kind of make a little bit of a comeback. I'm seeing some people do it.
You're happy to see it, are you?
Okay, so I would like to talk about that because, like, and feel free to cancel me for this one, okay? Because I get that that's not social distancing necessarily, but, or at all, honestly.
No.
But for me, it was such a cornerstone of French culture. I love it. I love la bise. And I think it's better than hugging, honestly. I mean, hugging's nice, too.
Hugging's not
bad.
I'm not for hugging either.
But hugging when you're meeting somebody you've never met before is weird.
I'm against any form of physical contact when you meet them for the first time, apart from a handshake.
Well, la bise is nice, though. It's,
no.
You know?
No. Two reasons. One, let's say I don't know you, and you don't know me, and we're both men, so it's a little bit different, because men that don't know each other don't do la bise.
Right.
But let's say I am a woman, I don't have any beard hair, and I feel bad for women who have to do la bise with me when they haven't met me, because I've got like this weird beard, like pokey hair shit that just feels uncomfortable for a non-shaven face.
Or maybe a little bit of, you know, a little bit of that stubble is kind of, it could be attractive.
Well, yeah, but not when, the idea of saying hello to somebody professionally or whatever or in anything is not to be attractive initially. Maybe further down the line, I agree.
Okay, I'm not suggesting you need to seduce somebody with your bees, you know, but it also, you know, it's just a quick moment. It's like...
Yeah, you know? Or you can just imagine you walk...
And then done. Boom, move on. Onto the conversation or whatever, right?
Yeah, but the done on in France takes a lot longer than in the UK, where if there's five people, you walk into a room, right, you go, hi everyone, let's get the beers.
Yeah.
I did a whole fucking sketch about it. I'm not going to do
this.
I know.
And anyway. Excellent.
Lucas VZ says, "I'm as a French, I'm pretty happy that la bise stopped for a while." Misha says, "I love how French la bise is, but also hate la bise with a passion." La bise with mask is la mise. That's very funny, Cédric. I like it. I actually ended up doing la bise to somebody today with a mask on. I thought, why are we doing this? This is horrific. Anyway. La bise has never been my cup of tea, Marion. Thank you.
Oh, Nathan, would you change your opinion about your video? I will never go back to the US. Have you seen that?
I think I did see it. It was a few months ago.
Yeah.
And you made a video like, I'm never going back to the US.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
And I can't remember why.
Because
I'm already drunk.
Basically.
Because I downstairs, the production team were working late tonight again, as they often are recent times, because the shows are back up and running. And we had maybe three beers.
Tickets.
We had three beers before Nate showed up.
Oh, I was not privy to that information.
Yeah,
I'm like sober. Right,
you're
now
sober as fuck. So I mean, you need to
number one.
You need to get on it. Anyway, no, you don't need to. I'm not forcing you to drink alcohol. I don't want to force anyone to have. Anyway,
what is this behavior?
Jesus. So your video, I can't remember why you said you would never go back to the US.
You know, it's a little bit of a strong title, but I do really stand by the sentiment, which
clickbait.
Which is that ultimately, I mean, at this stage, I don't see a future for myself living in the United States. I have no desire to move back and live there. Obviously, I can't predict where I'll be 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, right? But I'm so much more, like, comfortable and connected to this country and this continent in general. I have such a greater network of friends. And I just, I don't know. I can't really quantify it exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just I like being here.
Where are you from in the U.S. again?
On top of it, one of the big... So I was born in L.A. and I grew up in Portland.
Okay, so not small cities either.
On top of it, my... Yeah, no. On top of it, my family is leaving the United States. And that's the one big remaining anchor there for me.
Right.
And when they leave, you know, unless there's some sort of project or something that, you know, might necessitate a trip there, I don't know why I would go over there, you know? Like, I But all of that being said, for context here, oh, mic back? Sound is back. Oh, mic.
Okay. Stop, don't touch the mic. Oops. I need to replace this cable.
I'm sorry, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What you can touch is this. Do not touch the cable underneath.
Gotcha. Can they hear me, though?
Yeah, I can see it on there. They can hear you now.
So I want to give some context, though. I do recognize that I'm super fortunate and privileged to come from the United States and to have this option. And I'm totally cognizant of all the opportunities that came with that. As a white American, I mean, I should specify. I've gotten all these advantages that have allowed for, you know, for me to make these decisions. But, you know, given the choice, I'm choosing to be here, you know, and
well,
and
that like, hasn't like changed. Everyone, like, same with me. Like, I get the question all the time, are you going to go back to the UK at some point? Like, I the only thing that would bring me back to the UK, on a permanent basis is like a work opportunity. Even on a permanent basis, like my mum lives over there, but she prefers to come to Paris because
really?
It's like, well, yeah, because also now that we have a baby, yeah. Like where she lives, we can't go and stay at her house. It's not like she has my childhood house right. Where there's 20 bedrooms right. And like we can go there with our baby. Like she totally. Lives in a one bedroom flat. So if me, my wife and the baby go there, we would have to stay in a hotel.
So hold on. Are there moments that you feel like, you know, there's something about French culture, the way of life or the city, you know, Paris or whatever, where you're like, I think I want to leave. You know,
all the time, every day.
What are the, I mean, obviously you did an entire series.
I did 34
but
episodes.
If you had to, if you had to name like a top, like maybe two or three things that are just like, if these things, like I'll give you an example. Okay. Today, this is a long story and I'll go into the details in the live stream afterwards. Okay. But I don't have a home base right now. There's a solution coming. Okay. And things are in the works, but right now, like I don't have like an apartment. So I'm like kind of using temporary solutions. Airbnb is like super expensive in Paris.
There is a sofa here in case you ever need it. There is no bathroom to wash, but there is a sofa.
So every few days or few weeks, I'm moving around to someplace new. And I realized for the first time today that the metro system in Paris, it is not very well adapted whatsoever for anybody with like physical disabilities
or prams with children with
I'm
prams.
I'm carrying this gigantic luggage and I'm like, oh my God, if I like, you know, if I hurt myself in some way, this would literally be impossible right now. So that's a little example. It's not like a reason to leave Paris, but like just, you
no,
know,
a
little complaint.
But yeah,
right
like
there.
Every day there's like a different reason to leave Paris. And, but like, you know, it's not that I'm stuck here because I still enjoy my life here, but that like if I wasn't so tied to this city, I might question it a bit more, you know.
Yeah,
like my work as a stand-up comedian, I can only live in Paris and France. I can't live anywhere else. I can't get any money or do any gigs. I can be on tour and I can live somewhere else and then just come to Paris two nights a week, but problem
is it a choice that you're making it sound like you're constrained to living here.
I'm not constrained, but it is a choice in the sense that like, what do I choose? I choose to be around friends. So all my friends that I know in Paris, whether they're English speakers or French speakers, they all live in Paris. What I meant by Paris was France. All my friends, everyone that I know in France lives in Paris. Everyone.
Okay.
And so if I were to live in like a smaller city an hour away,
right, it would just always be coming back.
Well, then it's just like we choose to live a different life. We choose to live a life of a family where we have our garden with the house,
yeah.
And the child is in school and we're friends with the the parents of the other children.
Right.
And that becomes our life. And then we never see anyone that we actually... Because my wife grew up in the suburbs of Paris her whole life.
Right.
So all her friends are based in Paris or in the outskirts. It would make more monetarily sense to go like, hey, why don't we... The TGV to Rennes is an hour.
Yeah.
Why don't we buy a place out there?
Right.
We don't know anyone. We know zero people in any other city.
So one big reason is you don't know anybody elsewhere. But if there was one big reason that pushed you out, like that's one reason that's keeping you in, I guess. What's like one of the biggest reasons that would push you out?
Just how busy and mental and how infuriating the city is. Like just on a day-to-day basis, like they're changing all the streets, they're changing all the public transport,
Have you seen that though? I think they're trying to make the city a lot greener and like...
I'm 100% with that.
Do you believe that's going to happen?
Yeah. The problem is the in-between. The problem with Paris is we're in this in-between thing where...
Hold on a second. Isn't that life? Aren't we always in the in-between? Do we ever get there? That's just... I'm sorry. It just rolled into my lap right there.
Let's see what the people are saying. I live in Lyon and you can be my friend. Well, thank you very much, Mika Mills. I can be your friend. Fabrice, you knew people before coming to Paris for the first time? No, I didn't. Which is a great point.
Me neither.
Which is a great point. However,
it's possible.
I'm now not 22 years old anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so hold on. That's another really interesting topic, if we can dive into that for a second.
Yeah.
I was talking with some people, and it's like you reach a certain point, it feels like for a lot of people, where you have to make a very conscious decision. Either you're going to make the huge effort to start over somewhere new, and it's an adventure, and you can meet new people, or you're like, that is too much energy. Mm-hmm. And years of not feeling like you belong until you finally have a network and a community and whatnot. Yeah. I think when you're like, I don't know, it probably depends because, you know, my parents are leaving the United States. So it is possible, right? But I feel like
why are they leaving the US?
Well, it became more easier because no more kids in the house, you know, and they also do a lot of work online. So
Also they're moving closer to you.
They're moving closer to me, but it's also.
Because they know that you love Europe and they're like, well, we love him and he loves Europe. So that means.
But they also love Europe. And I think they're also kind of done with the lifestyle and the, you know, the way things are over
makes
there.
Makes sense.
You know, but they weren't able to do that during the entire, you know, 20-year stretch where they were raising children. You know? So.
Well, the age thing is a massive thing. Like, mate, when I was between the age of, like 19 and 23, I lived in four countries.
Yeah.
I lived in London for university.
Yeah, same actually. Wow, that's funny.
Then I moved to Montreal for 8 months.
Right.
Because of my degree, but because also I was like, fuck it, Montreal. Then I moved to Sydney in Australia for 4 months. Then I moved back to the UK and then I moved to France. Like all of that within like literally a 2 year period. So you're more, you're more comfortable when you're young with like uncertainty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you reach a certain age where I don't know what it is. Like I can't tell you like the click in my brain. It's like, I'm done with traveling. I'm done with moving around. Like I'm done.
Travel
with...
altogether.
We talked about this a little bit before we went live. Like I was in Egypt last week and I was looking at Egypt, the pyramids I was just like, yeah, okay, cool. This is exactly how I imagined it to be. Like, cause I've seen.
And so a little bit of context for that. I mean, that sounds, you know, I don't want to say it sounds shitty, but it sounds
it is,
but it's not because I think when you've done a lot of travel, you either have this burning desire and passion to continue, or you're like, okay, I've satiated this desire. I don't need to do this forever.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that.
Well, and you can.
There's always trade-offs.
You can assimilate that to any other thing in life that you do more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
trying to think of like the first, you know, like the first romantic relationship you get into, like the first time you fall in love, you're like, oh fuck. If it's like the seventh time that you've fallen in love, you're like, all right, I've been down this road. I know what's going to happen. Like this is going to do whatever. If it's the first time that you're ever using a smartphone, like the first time my mum used an iPad and she was able to FaceTime me, she was like, oh my God, this is fucking, you know, she's lived her whole life. Yeah. And she's like, fuck, there's this thing I can keep in touch with my son when I call you. Mum, if you're watching, I need to call you desperately. I just haven't had the minutes to do it.
Yeah.
But now that she's on her iPad number 3, she's like, why isn't this fucking working?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no matter, I think it must be like the human brain is like, when you get used to something, you take it for granted. And yes, I take like traveling for granted. For 9 years when I worked for Apple, I was taking 60 flights a year.
Yeah.
To go to different places, China, Japan, Hawaii, the US mainland, fucking Spain, Italy, like all these countries. And the travelers, just like seeing new places doesn't excite me anymore. I'm just like, yeah, this is another city. Like, it looks like the previous 20 that I've seen.
Isn't it fascinating how we've evolved to adapt quickly, but that's actually like 100% sort of an obstacle, if you will, on the path towards happiness. You know, like it's your own hardware is working against you because you just acclimate very quickly to amazing things.
Yeah. I need to get you another beer. You're still drinking water, so I'm not going to pour you one of these beers. I'm going to get you a beer that one of these guys gave me, because a lot of you guys give me free beers, so I'm going to get a couple of beers.
That is so nice of you.
It's more than nice.
That's more than nice. What's more than nice? Unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
Please give me an adjective for more than nice. I want to know what is more than nice.
What kind of beers do you like, mate?
Do you have anything ambré?
Ambré.
Potentiellement?
Yes, I definitely do. I just need to find it.
On n'a pas parlé en français pour l'instant. Je sais que c'est un live stream, ça se dit comme ça,
un live
qui est majoritairement en anglais, mais bon, on peut aussi répondre aux questions en français, ça peut se faire. Wow, there's many, many comments. I love the activity. I'm reading them all right now. Extremely nice, hyper nice, nicer, sweet, thoughtful. Généreux. Damn, choqué de son accent français. Ah, est-ce que c'est un compliment, ça?
Right.
Peut-être. Enfin. Nicer. Hi. Marseille. We are stupendous.
right, I've got you some beers. Ladies and gentlemen, off of the chat, I cannot remember who bought me this beer for context on my birthday. A lot of you bought me different beers, and I've forgotten who bought me what beers. This one is definitely from Kristen Kim, and this one is yours. It's a hazy IPA. It's from Oakland, California.
Ooh,
that's why I got it, because it's. But you'll be drinking out of the can.
I want to say thank you to Ines, who said my accent has apparently improved.
Where is Ines?
It's up a little bit.
But up a little bit. Ines Langlois. Ines Langlois. Wow, Nathan really feels like your accent has really improved. Bah voilà. Tu
Merci
vois?
Beaucoup.
Eh ben oui, mon gars. Eh ben oui. Eh ben oui. Hey, est-ce que ce serait pas le temps de vérifier les connaissances de Nathan
en français
avec les expressions françaises?
Oubla.
You having trouble opening?
I don't have nails.
Oh, I've got nails.
Problem.
I've got nails.
I'm a nail biter. Is the problem.
On va faire ça. Ladies and gentlemen, c'est la partie de l'émission où on va tester les connaissances dans les expressions françaises de Nathaniel, whatever his name is. Drew.
Drew.
Je vais faire le jingle. Le jingle, en gros, l'idée, c'est que vous envoyez-nous vos expressions préférées françaises et on va voir si Nathan les connaît. Et sinon, bah, on va les traduire et puis on va avoir du fun avec. Ladies and gentlemen, et c'est le temps pour la partie du show qui s'appelle Express Yourself. Send me your favorite expressions in English or in French and we'll see if my guest understands them.
Listen to that, right?
Well, you can pour it into...
Okay, I can chug this.
I mean, you can drink it out of the can. I was just like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I completely didn't give you the bottle. Anyway. Right, let's fucking have it. Right, Tristan Loiseau, avoir les yeux en face des trous.
What? Okay, hold on. So, I'm guessing the meaning of these.
That is a good beer. I cannot remember who gave you me this, but thank you so much if you're
avoir
watching.
Avoir les yeux en face des trous.
Alors,
By the way, I recently discovered, okay? That was a softer touch on the... I don't know. This is just a natural area where I place my
this
hand.
This is difficult.
I'm not trying
this
to injure
is perfect.
You.
This is perfect.
Okay. I recently discovered the reason why we call les flics, the police, les poulets. Did you know? Do you know the
we call the police les poulets.
But this is ignoring Tristan. I will guess on this.
We'll get to Tristan. We'll get to him in a minute. Hold on. Let me get his comment out of the way in case this becomes a clip on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on. So we call it.
Do you want me to start over here and represent this information?
No. So you know why the French say les poulets?
Yeah, les poulets pour parler des flics.
Because in English we say the pigs. In British English.
Yeah, well, that's not going to help you.
No, but how do you say it in American English? You say the pigs as well?
No.
No? What's your slang term for police in America? Apart from murderers. Oh, shit.
I actually thought you were thinking it.
And you were like, I'm not saying it. I said it for you. No, what...
I'll need to think about it. I don't know.
So we either say the pigs, the bacon.
Well, I mean, you say cops, right? That's not a
cops.
Nickname.
We don't say cops. We'll say like the, we'll say that the, Bobbies will say the Bobbies.
No, we do not say that. Yeah.
Bobbies is because of the hat, the Bobby hat. There's another word that in the US.
Sheriff, but that's different.
No, there's another word in the US that you say when you're like, the heat,
I wouldn't say that.
Whatever. Okay, why do the French say les poulets?
So, if I'm not mistaken, please, les Français, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think I'm onto something because I learned this a few days ago. Le commissariat au centre de Paris, apparemment, avant, c'était un poulailler ou quelque chose lié au poulet. Donc, du coup, genre de l'immeuble. Donc, c'est lié à ça.
Please let us know if this is true or not.
I think I should have looked this up to double check.
No, but I like it. I like the idea that the central police station in Paris used to be a chicken coop.
Yeah, or like some sort of like chicken processing spot, like related to chickens, which I think is awesome.
I mean, I don't know what else could make sense. I don't even know why we call the police bacon, the pigs or bacon in England.
That's what I was going to say. That's not going to help you at all.
No, but I don't even know why it's related to an animal. I don't know why. Anyway, maybe you can tell us. But anyway, Tristan Loiseau.
Okay, avoir les yeux en face des trous.
Have your eyes opposite
the holes.
Opposite the holes. I reckon.
You know this one?
No, I don't know this one. Tristan, please let us know in the comments what this actually means while we discuss it.
Les yeux en face des trous.
I think it means.
Être caché. Be hidden.
To be hidden?
Yeah, to be hidden. You know, because like maybe you're like looking out, you know, like and you're hidden in a en face des trous.
I was thinking.
Well, that would be more like derrière.
Was thinking more like you're an intelligent person. You know what's going on. Like you've got your eyes opposite the holes, as opposed to if you had your eyes next to the holes, you would be looking into like a blank. Imagine a mask. I'm thinking about a mask, like a Halloween mask. If you've got your eyes opposite the holes, you can see everything that's going on and you know what's happening. Whereas if you've got the mask slightly to the side, your eyes are to the side of the holes, not opposite the holes. I don't know.
Bien câblé. I didn't understand a thing you just said.
Tristan Loiseau, let us know. Oh, Jay Swanson is in the house.
Stash. Is he referring to me? I don't know.
I don't know. Hold on. I've got to find Tristan Loiseau in the comments now.
Oh, yeah. Tristan.
Because he's going to be the only one that tells us. The Americans say pigs. No, we'll go back to the American with the police thing in a second.
Coppers.
Hold on. Tristan Loiseau, where are you in the comments? Let us know what it means, bruv. You can't just give us a fucking comment and then not tell us what it means. Tristan Loiseau.
Well, there's a lot. We have a lot to guess here.
Okay, Alice. I'm going to go with Alice. She says, yes, Paul, it's linked to being lucid. It means to have your eyes aligned with the holes, correct? But that's just a literal...
It's not helping.
Être lucide. Okay, to be... Okay, I wasn't far away from it then.
So, être lucide, c'est très genre... what is that again? It's a very, clear thinking.
You've got your head on your shoulders.
Yeah, very, very clear-minded.
You know what? You know what's going on. Going back to the police, the fuzz, the pigs, the cops, okay, the fuzz...
I don't know if we have as many nicknames in the United States.
Well, because there's a film in England called Hot Fuzz, which is about...
Okay, well, we don't say that either. Yeah.
Okay, Americans, the Bobbies, yeah, okay, la maison... Okay, pig started in 60s slang, very derogatory. It is. The Rozzers, that's very English as well. Coppers, feds.
Yeah.
The feds, but the feds is the FBI. It's not the police. The feds. The Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's the feds.
Yeah.
The police would say in a film, we're going to call in the feds.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
feds are here. So it's not necessarily police. It's more the filth. We say that in English as well. Yeah,
oh,
the filth.
Avoir l'estomac dans les talons. What is that? Have you heard that one?
Avoir l'estomac dans les talons. Peut-être un... No, hold on. That's... Hold on. Tête dans le cul. Hold on. We got to go back to the... The original part of the show was French expressions. We started talking about fucking police, didn't
oh
we?
Oh my god! Well, all right,
let's go back to the expressions. All right, let's have this one's a good one. Enora FMC.
Pédaler dans la choucroute.
Oh. Well, I love the expression rien à voir avec la choucroute ou les choucroutes. I can't remember if it's singular.
Ça n'a rien à voir avec la choucroute. I think that is a thing. You know? Yeah, it means yeah, it's nothing to do with the choucroute. It's
Well, choucroute
is a dish.
Yeah, yeah. It's but it's not choucroute in English. That
sauerkraut.
It's sauerkraut. There you go. There you go.
So yeah, it's nothing to do with the sauerkraut. Yeah, in French, that just means like you're off topic.
Yeah, yeah. Rien
à voir. We're talking about police in a French expression thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Ça n'a rien à voir avec la choucroute.
Yeah.
But pédaler dans la choucroute. I have a feeling. I have an idea, but I want your idea.
Drugs,
first.
Drugs. It has to be. It has to be selling drugs.
What do you mean, drugs?
Yeah, selling drugs has to mean you're selling drugs. It has to.
No. I don't know it either.
No, I have.
What do you mean? So if you're peddling, because you're thinking about the English word
I'm
to pedal,
peddling. Yeah,
to pedal drugs.
What was pedaler? I don't know.
Pedaler literally means to pedal, like on a bike.
Okay, could be slinging. You know, slinging some sauerkraut.
Here's my theory. I like it, but here's my theory, and you could be right. My theory is, it is like being up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
Oh, I've heard. I feel like I've heard.
Imagine
this.
The street is full of sauerkraut, but like this high. Okay, imagine trying to pedal through the sauerkraut. It's like you're struggling. There's another phrase in French, ramer.
Yeah, ramer.
You're rowing.
But hold on, ramer is much more in the context of like you're kind of trying to like maybe like you're flirting with a lady and it's not really going anywhere. You're really trying to ram.
Yeah, but I think in that context, you could say to your mate, like, hey, là, je suis en train de pédaler dans la choucroute, ça fonctionne pas.
Oh, so that's your guess?
That's my guess.
All right, let's see if that's right.
Enora, is that the guess? Is that what it is? Enora, let me scroll down to the bottom.
You're not going anywhere? Là, vous pédalez dans la choucroute.
Thibaut, Paul is on fire. Wading through the treacle. Oh, fuck.
In trouble.
You're in trouble. Yeah, you're in the shit. Okay, nothing to do with drugs, Claire Amélie says.
Nothing to do with drugs. Whatever. I mean, for me it is, so.
Bingo. Paul is right. Okay, there we go. Yes, Paul, it's possible. Oui, mal s'y prendre.
Mal s'y prendre.
Okay, that's good, yeah. I guess it's, yeah, I mean, galérer. Je suis en train de galérer.
So ramer, yeah, yeah.
Je suis en train de ramer, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Like ramer, like pédaler dans la choucroute. The visual thing is like you're trying to pedal in a field full of sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Like how thick is that stuff? Like you got the sausages, you got the fucking chou-fleur, whatever that is in English, the cabbage.
Chou-fleur, yeah.
It's complicated.
Have you ever had, you know how they're doing like, actually, no, just kidding. What is cauliflower in French?
Cauliflower in French is just chou-fleur, yeah.
It's also cabbage is no cabbage.
Cabbage
is
chou.
Chou, right? Chou, right.
And cauliflower
is cauliflower.
The memo technique is flower, fleur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chou fleur.
That makes sense.
Right. Let's do a couple of more expressions, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna go back up to the top because we've this session.
Oh, être rond comme une queue. No, I feel like I've heard this one before.
Tosca Nuri Tosca. Être rond comme une queue de pelle.
I don't know. Do you know this one?
No. What do you think it means?
Wow, this is. I feel like in the past you've known all of them.
I normally know all of them, and for once I know none of them. There's some of them I know, like pisser dans la violon that GM has suggested,
okay,
but we've done
okay,
that
okay,
so many
okay.
times.
So let's break this down. Une pelle is a shovel.
It's a shovel.
Rond is round. So to be round, like the edge, the end of a shovel. Yeah.
Like for me, this expression just means you're fat.
How about more like, well...
Like you're as fat as the round part of a shovel. Because être rond comme une queue de pelle, You've got, like, it's like me.
Dumb, no, 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 no. Dumb? It's definitely, I feel like, well, it's not definitely anything, I'm guessing, but I feel like it could mean you're dumb. Like, you know, t'es pas le, how, what is it again? T'es pas l'outil le plus, no, no, t'es pas le couteau le plus aiguilleux.
T'es pas le couteau le plus aiguillé du tiroir.
Aiguillé, wait, voilà, okay, I fucked that one up, but whatever.
Okay, it means you're drunk, it means you're drunk.
You're drunk.
Well, t'es bourré, mais vraiment bourré.
Il y a un lien là, il y a un lien là, non, parce que t'es bourré, t'es vraiment pas dans ton état le plus intelligent. Donc du coup, voilà, aiguisé, voilà, aiguisé.
Control, Alt, supprimé, says Paul Taylor, c'est ton état après les lives. It's how I am after all my lives.
You're pretty drunk right now, right?
Right now, I'm doing all right.
You improved?
No, I haven't improved.
Oh, you're doing all right.
I'm doing all right, I'm doing good. Like, it's not like I have to get up at 6 a.m. to go to London tomorrow. Oh, London!
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My train is at 9 a.m.
Wow, buddy.
My train. Wow. I'm not sleeping tonight. I think that's what's happening.
What? That's not a good idea. I've tried that, and that's never worth it. It's never worth it.
It isn't, but I'm not really doing anything. It's not. I'm only going to... Have you heard of a venue called the Shepherd's Bush Empire?
No.
Great. Well, have you heard of a venue called Radio City Music Hall?
No.
Okay, well then you're right. You're just a.
I don't know. I don't think I do enough like live events and whatnot.
Well, Radio City Music Hall is in New York, the Beacon Theater.
Okay.
Anyway, it's basically put it this way: that Shepherd's Bush Empire in London is a legendary music venue where the Rolling Stones have played, where David Bowie has played, where Elton John has played, where most recently Ed Sheeran, like Coldplay. Or it's like a legendary music theater. I'm finishing my show there end of January.
Look at this guy.
I know, fucking what? And so tomorrow I'm doing a day trip to London. We leave at 9 a.m. and we come back at 11 p.m. because we're visiting the venue to see where we put the cameras, what the light and the sound is going to look like. It's basically like a scouting. Anyway, that's all that sick. To say is, what time is it? 8:43? I'm getting up in already less time than I would normally like to sleep.
Wait, so you try to shoot for like, what do you try to shoot for? Like a good 8-9 hours, 10 hours? 10 hours is a lot.
Of sleep?
Yeah.
No, I mean, right now, I try and get 8.
Yeah.
If I get 8, I'm happy.
You know you're not getting 8 if you're spending 8 in bed. You're not getting 8.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Nobody's sleep efficiency is
100%. For me,
I have this Aura ring that tracks. And you know, whatever, you can get, you know.
I've got my watch that tracks it, yeah.
And in like, if it's like 80% efficiency, like, I'm doing great, you know? Like,
I'm in bed for like 12 hours and I get about, 6 hours of sleep.
Wow.
Like, well, literally.
All right, let's explore. I mean, alcohol definitely doesn't help. Alcohol doesn't help. That's a misconception. Alcohol does not help you sleep.
Oh, it absolutely does
it's
not help.
It's much
yeah.
more, it's less quality sleep, and you're waking up throughout the night and you're not remembering it because, you know, maybe, you know, if you're drunk. Mm-hmm. Do you drink a lot of caffeine?
Not a huge amount, no.
Oh, you're not that European then?
I'm not that European. I'm very English. In English, we don't drink coffee. I mean, I say that. We drink tea. There's a lot less caffeine in tea than there is in coffee.
All right, fair enough.
I drink a couple of cups of tea, but not usually after like 3 or 4 p.m.
Okay, a tricky question here. Do you feel like the British are, I mean, look, this is launching us in another direction. Do you feel like the British are less European?
Oh, for sure.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I mean, we know that, you know, the UK is now out, but...
Well, I'd say we're less Southern European. In the sense, I feel like Italy, France, and Spain, and, like, Greece...
Is Portugal part of that?
Portugal is part of that as well.
The pigs, right?
The pigs?
Yeah, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain. There you go. Pigs.
Okay, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But because it's a thing... Obviously,
for you, that's the cops, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they're more, they're, I feel like their cultures are a lot more similar to Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Sweden, Norway, Finland.
Okay, but back to my question. Less European? I mean, what is European?
What is European?
Who takes the, when you define European, are you taking Germany, Belgium, France, Italy, Spain, and just mixing it together? And by the way, we're totally ignoring Eastern Europe. I mean, like,
of course,
we're talking about
Western and Central and some Southern Europe.
Well, it's basically, yeah. Like, when you're talking about, I mean, it's the same thing of like, well, American, what are you talking about? You're talking about Texas or you're talking about New York
no,
or you're talking about
Oregon?
No, this is not
the same thing at all. I mean,
it
look,
is exactly the same
you
thing.
You can go most places in the United States and see, like, an American flag out, you know, or, I mean, more in certain places than others, admittedly.
That's true.
But, you know, like,
yeah, but that's,
know,
for me,
you'll
that's
see an American flag in Texas just like you'll see it in New York. You know?
Yeah, but that for me isn't like a defining thing. Like,
okay, we're all speaking the same language.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You know, you'll find strip malls that resemble, you know, they
yeah,
look almost
mate,
the same.
Yeah, but mate, you go to any city center in Europe, there's an H&M, there's a Zara, there's a Mango.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's a Carrefour. Like, or if it's not a Carrefour, it's the German version of Carrefour. Like, it's not the same brands, but for me, it's like, but yeah, I agree. When you say European, what do we mean? Because there's a clear difference between Southern Europe, Northern Europe, in terms of the mentality of the people, in terms of the way the cities
yeah.
are built, in terms of like what's important.
And this
in life.
Is part of why I love this continent so much, you know.
But for me, that's the same as the US. Like
and we haven't mentioned Northern Europe at all, which is like you know
we are like Scandinavia.
Well, like
for
Sweden?
Me, we're closer to Northern Europe. Than we are to Southern Europe. We're kind of in like this middle place where geographically, I mean, we are attached, but there's a sea between us. But if you go under the sea, like we're still attached at the fucking plate.
Right.
We're still on the continental plate. But because we're an island, it creates a different, and because we're an island nation, it's a different thing. If Mallorca or Corsica or Sardinia were not part of their respective countries, it might be a similar thing. Because Ireland and...
Yeah, but they're literally trapped in the Mediterranean Sea, so, you know.
Yeah, but Cyprus is its
but
own...
But I'm asking a different question. I want to know what is... I'm asking an impossible question, I get it. Like, there's no purpose to this, but I'm just curious. If there was one country that was, like, the most European, like, what... Like, no. When you're thinking, like, what's... Is it because, like, you know, it sort of depends. It sounds like Germany is the heart of, like, the Euro,
but the
right?
same quite, no.
Right?
No?
No.
Not
no.
even, no.
But hold on. France is exporting, you know, France exports more culture. You know, they're, like, number one in soft power, according to I don't know who.
Right. So let me ask you the same question. What city in the U.S. or what state is the most American?
Yeah, that's...
It's the same question for me. We are the United States of Europe. We don't speak the same language. We don't follow the same rules.
I agree with that.
But we do because Europe has its own set of rules.
I agree with that. I'm asking an impossible question, but look. So look, people are saying France, of course. I mean, you have a biased audience, but like
of course.
Holland is the most European. I want to know the reasons why, right? France, Luxembourg. But what I'm curious about, multiple people saying Luxembourg, I'm curious about that. The reason I'm asking is because we all have some idea in our head. And the truth is...
Well, for you as a non-European...
Well, I'm just curious because you're not thinking... You're probably not thinking about Russia, right? When you're thinking about whatever European means. And
well, I'm thinking about like...
A chunk of it's in Europe, a chunk of it's not. Like, but you're not... I don't know if you're thinking... Do you think Moscow when you think like Europe?
I do.
You do?
Just because it's in Europe.
Okay.
But if you go all the way out to Eastern Russia, I'm like, no, that's in Asia. Like it's a different... Like, for me, Europe, like, because you could also say, well, Istanbul technically is in Europe, half of it, and the other half is in Asia.
Right.
Like, you cross the river and you're in Asia,
right.
Technically, geographically speaking, right? But for me, I mean, it's weird. Again, it's different because as an Eastern European, you have a different upbringing than a Western European.
I'm just, okay, I'm asking this question because, to counter your point, I think that if you said, like, oh, is there a most American place? Like, probably everybody outside of the United States thinks like, you know, if they were plopped into Texas, they might think like, yeah, this is the most American. Or maybe some people would make arguments for like, you know, New York or whatever. But it like there's like an idea, like a kind of like a thumbnail, if you will.
Well, the thing with non-Americans, when we think of America, what we either think of is New York or LA, just because most culture has come out of the US, has come from those cities, whether it's rap music,
right,
which has explored both of those, whether it's TV shows, Friends, which is based in New York, whether it's all of Hollywood, which is based in LA. Like, those are the two cities that we go, that represents America as non-Americans.
Right.
Now, having been to America about 50 times, I understand that it's completely not the... Like,
right.
I fucking love Portland. I've been there a couple of times. I love Portland. I love a bunch of different cities. I've been to, like, I've been to Alabama. I've been to all weird sorts of places. New Orleans, different vibe. Chicago, different vibe.
Right.
But when you're from the outside, which and this is why it's an interesting question that you're asking me as a European, what feels more European? Because I'm like, well, as you as an American, what's more American?
Yeah. Well, and I know for there's no question that like Western and Southern Europe dominates the culture battle here. You know, like because it's like we're not thinking of for better or for worse. I mean, like, and I don't think this is right, but we're not thinking about Slovakia. We're having a conversation about, like...
No, but that's also a population thing. Like, you take...
No, because, look, Portugal is having its moment. And Portugal's got, like, 10 million people. You know, Denmark is... What is Denmark? Denmark's, like, 5 million? Am I off?
It'll be around that.
Denmark,
it's not more
Denmark
than 10.
Denmark gets plenty attention, you know?
Does it?
Hygge, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Maybe in America it does, but in Europe it doesn't.
Okay, whatever. Okay, the Netherlands. The Netherlands can't be more than Denmark population.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. I'll give you the argument that the
Netherlands 6 million. Sweden 10 million. Come on. Sweden's 1/6. Not even 1/6 of France, and we know about Swedish fish and they love saunas and there's
I think the problem, I think that, and you're right. And I think the thing with Eastern Europe is that because a lot of those countries were ex-USSR, their culture is a lot more similar. Like, if you were to compare Sweden and Spain, the culture is way more different than two countries in Eastern Europe that are equally distant geographically. Like, if you go to Albania or you go to Lithuania, they're probably distance-wise the same as Spain and Sweden.
Yeah.
But the cultures are closer to each other.
Careful what you say. I mean, I don't know. They might totally disagree. But
they will
because... But from the external perspective, I get
what you're
saying.
Of course, it's like when we go to the US and we go, yeah, all Americans are the same. You're like, well, no, because Texas has its own thing. Connecticut has its own thing. Fucking Oregon has its own thing. And you're like, yeah, but from the outside, everyone thinks Americans are the same. It's like from the outside, everyone thinks everyone in the UK is the same. Even within a country, people are different. How many times have you said, oh, he's from north of France? Oh, he's from the south of France?
Yeah.
Within the country, it's already different. So it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
It's
interesting we're getting, could you scroll up a little bit? We're getting a lot of interesting hot takes on this topic.
Mate, there's fucking loads of good questions.
What are we still doing for the expressions? Maybe
the expressions are finished now. Like we stopped the expressions.
Sorry.
Half an hour ago.
Folks.
Seattle Rocks.
European Heart is the blue banana for me. What is that?
Where's that? The blue banana for me.
I think that's like a, hold on. I've heard this before.
I don't know what blue banana is. But yeah, I don't think there's a real answer of like, what's the most European country? There isn't one. You can say, by population, you can go, all right, Germany, UK, France. And then everyone else, like, you drop down, like, 20 million to get to the next city.
Isn't it so fascinating? Like,
country.
Look, in the United States, we have flyover states, right? Like, where people, like, you know, it's like, there's squares on a map, you know? And obviously, there's culture, there's life happening, you know? But, like, that they have that name. Here, that's the blue banana right there.
Oh, the blue banana.
It touches,
hold on,
conveniently, London.
I've got to show you. Hold on. Close your face.
It's not getting it. There you go. It worked.
Did it work?
Yeah.
There you go. The blue banana.
So that's the blue banana.
So that doesn't even include France.
Wait,
what did he say?
A chunk of it, yeah.
The Europe part. Not a chunk of it.
Well,
not,
I guess
like,
it kind of ignores France. Yeah.
It basically goes the north of Italy, the whole of Switzerland, fuck off, a lot of Germany, all of the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg.
Lille.
And like, up to fucking Manchester in England, but it doesn't include Marseille. Fuck off, is that the centre of Europe?
That's not right. Sorry.
I mean, it's a super interesting conversation.
So what I was saying was, it's interesting how there's flyover states and there's countries that get way less attention, like in Europe. And it's so interesting how geographically, and this is true, I mean, this is true about everything in life. Everything is, inequality is sort of a, a fact of life. I'm not defending the inequalities that exist, but I'm just saying that, like, it's like the 80-20 rule, right? Like, it's chaos theory, mm-hmm. right? Like, things are always unevenly distributed. And it's so fascinating to me that certain pockets of the world, like Europe as a whole, is a small percent of the world's landmass and had its moment over the last 500 years.
Yep.
Dominating, like, not in a positive way, right? Like, through it, like, colonization and whatnot. But yeah. still, like, a small chunk has way, like, a disproportional amount of power. And it's weird how these pockets yeah. pop up, like, how it happens. You know, like, how totally Paris agree, yeah. happened in the 1920s. You know? How the hell did so many incredible artists all, like, end up together, you know?
Yeah, it's such a good point. El Medi disagrees with me, and I and it's a fair point. What's common between Latvia and Turkmenistan, both ex-USSR? Fair point. I gave two examples of random countries because I'm not from that part, so we think that everyone... That's the thing. It's fucking fascinating.
How many people are watching right now?
How many people? 345, so not a lot of people.
Okay. That's a lot. I mean, to me, that's a lot.
Europe is the most diverse part of the world. Disagree. It's the most diverse linguistically, maybe, in such a small space, but...
Well, I mean, I don't know. Diversity is a hard thing to define, right? Like, diverse...
What is it? Diverse?
You've got a total range of political, you know...
It's fair.
You know what I mean? There's like, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of diversity in many of the major cities. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know.
No, but yeah, I agree. But I don't know if it's the most diverse part. Again, what's the most diverse because we're in it and we're like, yeah, there's so many different... Like, you fly 1 hour that way, you're in a different country. You walk 1 hour that way, you're in a different country. You know? Right. You're like, yeah, but all right, cool. But there's other places like Southeast Asia where you're just like, oh, there's so many diverse... But we're all like, oh, yeah, they're all the same.
Right.
Like, I am with my fucking Eastern Europe. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's always a part... It's always perspective.
Yeah.
It always depends where you are and where you're from. So
c'est culturel ce soir. J'espère que...
Who said it's c'est culturel ce soir? Yeah, exactly. It is cultural tonight.
I hope we're not boring you with...
yeah, it might be super boring. That's why there's
actually, India, that's a fair point. No, India is more diverse linguistically. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There are like 25, at least 25 official languages, right? Oh, there you go. Over 200 languages spoken in Manhattan alone.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all bollocks.
That's okay. New York. Well, there you go.
It's all bollocks. Like, everyone, when I lived in Montreal, everyone was like, yeah, Montreal's the most diverse. Everyone says their own city's the most diverse.
It is really interesting to me how we define diversity because, like, yeah, New York is a place where you have like every nationality you can possibly think of.
Yeah, but in Paris as well.
But hold on. I was going to say that in New York, there's this kind of there's a very kind of homogenous sort of way of thinking, I think, of like work really hard, you know, like, and it, like, for me, like, New York is the heart of the capitalistic machine,
yeah,
you know, and I feel like you go there, you're going for new opportunities and you work hard. That's the religion for everybody, you know. Is that diverse? I don't know if that's not really diverse.
Yeah,
you
yeah
know?
I completely agree with you. Like,
just I mean, obviously, it's a very linguistically diverse place. I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah, but everywhere is like London. London is fucking linguistically diverse as well. You've got the whole of Europe that comes to London to work. You've got the whole of like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh.
Look,
with all
when
of their
I was in London,
languages.
I visited with my family, and when we were in London, I don't think I met one like Brit. I mean, it was. Every restaurant, every hotel was like somebody from a different spot.
But it's the same in Montreal. It's the same in every big city in the world. Everyone's like, oh, we're the most culturally that fuck off. It's just like everyone's trying to up themselves. So here's a perfect example of like cities trying to be better than other cities. And I noticed this and it was a depressing thought that I had. When there's a terrorist attack in any like big country, any country where there's like a lot of people dead or whatever, and honestly, it's like Western countries, right? No one, because for some reason, Western countries don't give a fuck about what happens in non-Western countries. But when the terrorist attacks happened in Paris in 2015, 130 odd people died in the theater, blah, blah, blah. Every monument in the Western world was in competition with each other on Instagram about how can we make the French flag fit into our Empire State Building, or the London Eye, or the Sao Paulo, it became like this competition of like, we're the better city. Because
so you didn't feel like it was out of solidarity at all?
Honestly, no. It was because they knew that people were going to take photos of there. Because the article the next day on Huffington Post was like, oh, the 10 cities that...
Oh yeah,
that were in solidarity, and then you know the next day it was Lebanon. You know they put and because the French flag is very easy to represent in lights, red, white, and blue, as is the UK flag, as is the Netherlands flag, as is any flag that's American. The red, white, and blue, very easy to create some cool lights. Right. I do it on my fucking stand up show. Yeah. The background of my stand up show is red, white, and blue.
You know what's so interesting? These cities are all competing with each other because it's kind of like the world of dating. You know, you're always trying to attract the best talent, the best whatever. You know, like, it's always because, like, whatever, New York or London or Paris or whatever are trying to attract the best talent, the best people. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they'll just go somewhere else. Like, it's this constant, I mean, it's human nature, you know?
Yeah. Right. Question for you. Completely changing topics because we will keep talking about this in part two of the live.
Yes.
Part two of the live, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is exclusively available on patreon.com/
Exclusively available on Patreon, patreon.com/PaulTaylor.
Basically, the way these lives work, hour one is for free. Hour two is we get even more in depth of this kind of shit. Patreon.com is a place where artists, we can gain money by providing exclusive content. But before we do part two, we've done this before to learn a bit of a Quebecois.
Yes.
Some Quebecois expressions.
Is it too late for that? Do we have time?
It is not too late for that because he's been waiting for fucking ages. I was just waiting for the time to be like, hey, let's transition to Quebecois.
And on a jamais eu l'opportunité.
So I fucking did the transition for you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to learn some expressions in French Quebecois because they're all fucked up compared to French. Ladies and gentlemen, let me do the jingle first and I will explain what's going on. Here's the jingle. Québécois. Tabarnak. Calice de marde. Qu'est-ce que ça veut dire, ça? Je comprends rien. Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Rolly Assal, stand-up comedian based in Montreal, gives us a taste of Le Québec. You need to put your headphones on. I forgot to mention that.
Ah, yes. But bien sûr.
So that we can hear what he's actually saying. Right, Rolly, let's get him on the left-hand side of the screen. Rolly is here. He's not there. He's not there yet. There he is.
Mais il arrive avec de l'alcool. Alcoolisé. Bien alcoolisé. Tellement, c'était ennuyant.
Dude.
Regardez notre conversation, c'est ça?
Are you drinking rum out of a bottle?
C'était vraiment long, hein? And I'm eating Sour Patches.
Sour Patches. I don't know what Sour Patches are.
Ça fait plaisir de te revoir. Ça fait longtemps.
I'm so lonely.
Mais, oh, il est pas en train... C'est pas vraiment du rhum, ça.
Ouais, mais je bois pas pour vrai. J'ai pris une petite gorgée.
Franchement, je sais pas. I just had a moment there where I was like, your accent became a little bit more Québécois.
Oh, ben là.
I know. Ben oui. Of course.
En te parlant.
You know... Ouais. Tu sais que Paul is swearing in Québécois when he gets mad.
This is kind of true.
When I get angry, I swear. The only one I know is tabarnak. Yeah. And I love the expression, what is it again? Pas pire pantoute.
Pas pire pantoute. It's not that bad. Not so bad. Pas pire pantoute. It's like, not bad. Not bad.
Pas pire pantoute. Okay.
That's one expression out of 100. Dude, today I have... What? Very, very special expression for you, Nathaniel.
Oh my God, no. Really?
Yes. Like, very hard expressions, but very funny ones.
Okay.
Some expressions that we rarely use, but when you use them efficiently, they are really funny.
Does Paul know?
I might know some of them. Like, I've worked my ass off finding those expressions, pour vrai, parce que...
You worked on something, you didn't work on your lighting situation. Oh! You worked on the expressions, but not...
Whoa!
You're so dark, it looks like you're in a cave or something.
Whoa!
Well, c'est quand même le Canada, on y va.
You know why?
Why?
You know what? You know why? Because my settings on my camera are set for before that we changed the time. Là maintenant, il fait plus... Ah, tabarnak!
T'as un filtre? Does he use like an ND filter?
Well, no, okay, I don't whatever. Know. He just... There we go.
He's going to overexpose himself.
There so. We go.
No.
Oh, there we go. There, that's a bit better. There we go. Now we can see your background.
Can you lower the light that's on you? It's a little bit bright.
Nah, it's all
right. Dude, you're asking too much, right? You're trop là. This is Kev. Basic setting.
Kev says so rude.
Camera yep. And Raleigh's the window. Man I'm cave. Just kidding.
Kev says so nah. Rude. Yeah.
Sex dungeon, according to Nick Jones.
Nick Jones, apparently, Rolly, it's your sex dungeon.
I'm actually using a window. That's why. I'm not using it. It's natural light.
Oh, shit. Go on. So what are your, what's the expressions that,
Lola. Okay. Lola.
Oula. Did you almost spill that beer all
j'ai
over?
J'ai failli faire tomber, ouais.
Alors, la première expression. Je vais la mettre dans le chat. Ah, fuck, I hate that. To put it in the chat, I need the YouTube link, right?
Vas-y.
Oh, because you can't do it on the e-cam.
While we wait, can I just share a funny little anecdote? I didn't realize, you know how you can say mon gars? It's like my dude,
yeah, ouais, mon gars.
I was saying for a while, mon cum. Same sort of like, you know, like my dude, mon cum is like, it's like my boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Like my,
so I was saying that to like dudes, like my friends, you know, and nobody fucking said anything until one day, one of them's like, you understand that that's like, you know, there's like a little bit like, you're sort of calling me your boyfriend. I was like,
well, yeah, when you're not expecting it, you might be like, oh, and maybe everyone didn't say anything because they were like, oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, fair enough, okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
Because,
don't make my mistake.
Mon chum. We say mon chum here, like C-H-U-M, mon chum. Like chum. In English, you would say my man. Hey, what's up, my man?
My dude. Or my man. Yeah, my man's. Yeah.
My man.
Or my man's.
You my man's? Who says my man's?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you find a YouTube link, Rolly?
Yes, I did, but Rolly, it's another computer, so I need prêt. To log in. J'étais...
Oh, cool, yes.
Là, j'ai besoin de... C'est vraiment compliqué. La technologie, elle est de la merde.
Lori says Nathaniel needs disconnect. 2 hours live for himself.
Just give me a second.
All right, you're just picking up comments that big you up, mate.
No.
Just give me a second.
No.
It's all right. I get it. You're on a different computer. Your computer, exactly. he fucked his computer up. So he's using his girlfriend's computer.
Yeah.
Cum, c'est le verlan de...
De
mec. De mec.
De mec. Cum, c'est le verlan de mec, pas mac.
Voilà.
Because that would be weird. Like, oh, did you just buy a new computer? Ouais, je me suis acheté un cum.
Oh, okay, hold on. Really, really quick.
I cum pro. Why?
I come, bro.
Just because this person is called Fanny Ott. What was the meaning of Fanny in the UK? Because I don't remember.
Mate, every time we talk about this, not we, but just like Fanny in British English means vagina.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I figured. And Fanny in American English means backside.
So right. So Fanny Pack is just like hilarious to you. Is that what you know?
Yeah, because we call it a bum bag.
A bum bag.
Do you know what I mean? You should do a technical Rolly jingle. Maybe we should. Florian Beaufreton. Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Got it.
Shout out to Florian Beaufreton, who is the legend that right now is editing all of the clips that you see on this channel. The shorter clips of all the lives is Florian Beaufreton. He's an absolute fucking legend. So we should do the technical because there's a technical Taylor jingle, but for now I've been fucking flawless today.
Oh yeah, avoir un pain au four. Avoir.
Okay, Rolly Assal is in the comments. There he is. Avoir. Right.
Okay. Wait. I almost want to say like you gave me this expression last time.
No, I've never given that.
You gave me something related to four ou fourré.
Ouais.
Ouais.
Fuck, you remembered it. Foodie, hey, it's my foodie, look.
Okay, that was like a really sexual, right?
Or yes.
No? Yeah, everything foodie is the fuck.
Have sex.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Right. I'm gonna guess this one, but I'm gonna let you guess first.
Avant un bain au four.
Since they are hard ones, j'avais des choix de réponse en fait.
Ah. Ok, mais est-ce qu'on peut...
Il y a plusieurs
attends,
sens.
On va deviner...
Oui. Il y a plusieurs ouais. sens.
On va deviner le truc avant que tu aies tes trucs. Avoir un pain en four. To have...
Toi, tu connais cette expression?
No, okay. But I have an idea because we have a very similar expression in British English. We say to have a bun in the oven.
Okay, so this is sexual.
No. I mean, it started sexually, but having a bun in the oven is not sexual anymore. Because you guys don't know this expression, to have a bun in the oven.
No.
No. In British English, it means to be pregnant. You have a bun
oh,
in the oven.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right?
That totally makes
Donc,
sense.
Avoir un pain au four sounds very similar to have a bun in the oven. So, that is my guess. But I might be completely wrong.
Avoir un pain au four. Yeah, I mean, that's not... I need to find another... Okay, I'll try to find an alternative here because I would agree with that. I would say otherwise, it's...
Apparently, they say bun in the oven in the US as well. Thanks, Tyler.
Maybe, okay, just as an alternative, since it may be vulgar, because I just have that association with you at this point, maybe it's like you got to take a dump, you know? It's like, yeah, t'as un pain au four, quoi.
Ah, il faut chier. Ah, okay.
Eh, c'est pas fou, ça.
But it's not
c'est
that,
pas fou.
Based on your reaction.
Voici les choix. Un... Trop manger okay. de gluten. Deux, aller à la boulangerie. Trois, faire un dessert. Ou quatre, être enceinte.
Yeah, être enceinte.
Yeah.
Ça doit être ça.
Ça, c'est la... Ah, c'est cool ça, tu peux mettre les deux, tabarnak.
Je mets les deux, mais je joue avec pour que ça couvre pas nos faces.
Je peux poser une question vite fait là. Tabarnak, bien évidemment, c'est un... C'est grossier, non? Mais vu que les Français se moquent tout le temps de ce terme, est-ce que ça enlève un petit peu la puissance du mot? Ou vous, you don't give a fuck?
We don't give a fuck. On s'en tabarnak. Which we don't care. No, I think it's les Français. It's one of the words that they. I think it's the only word that they refer to when they think about Québécois.
Yeah.
We have plenty of words. It's yeah, but it's basically the most powerful word. But we don't care.
You don't care. It's still very powerful. It's the most powerful. It's one of the most powerful words.
Yeah. They don't even say it properly. They say tabernacle. It's tabernacle. So, like, at some point.
Tabernacle. Tabernacle. Are we going with number four to be pregnant?
Yeah.
It's
all right.
C'est une bonne réponse. Écoutez, elle était quand même... hein, c'était bon, mais pousser un gros caca, c'était quand même une belle option aussi. Hein.
Ouais, trop manger de gluten, aller à la boulangerie.
Ça, c'est juste... L'expression, c'est juste chier un coup, quoi. Voilà.
Voilà.
Exactly.
Deuxième expression qui est okay. quand même très difficile.
Right.
On augmente le niveau un peu. Alors, Paul, put that on the screen, tabarnak.
It's coming on the screen.
Alors, baiser le cul du diable quand il est fret. Donc, baiser le cul du diable quand il est fret. Fuck the evil's bum when it's cold.
The evil, the devil, the devil, the devil.
The
diable. Yeah, wait, fuck the devil's bum when it's cold. To fuck the
devil's bum when it's cold. Alors, baiser le cul du diable.
I love this one. I don't know what it means, but...
Okay.
Mais pensez avec une logique. Like, think about you doing the act.
Okay, so, le diable...
Ow!
Oh, sorry. Le diable... He lives in hell. So when would he be cold? Let's work through the calculus here. You know, when would he ever be cold?
I was thinking less of that. I was thinking more like, what would his bum feel like when it's cold? Because in theory,
but in theory he would never be cold.
No, and in theory he's fucking a lot in hell.
Oh really?
There's a lot of people. Fucking the devil up the ass because we've done a lot of bad
well,
things.
It's more
life.
Like the other way around, right?
Probably, yeah. So that's the thing. The only reason I'm thinking... So, baiser le cul du diable is like something that you do when you go to hell because that's what you're condemned to do for the rest of eternity. But if it's cold, if his ass is cold, you know, you like shrink a little bit when you're cold. I think that it means something is difficult. Like if you're like, hey, Paul.
Oh. Like you're having trouble getting it up. Is that what you're saying?
No, just difficult in general. Like, hey, what's it like doing a live stream from Paris to Montreal with all of this technical setup? I might say, ouais, c'est comme baiser le cul du diable quand il est fret. Like, it's so difficult. Like, imagine trying to have sex with a devil when it's cold. Like, your ass contracts when you're cold.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to penetrate. So for me, it just means difficult. That's where my mind went. Where did your mind go with where is the devil when he's cold?
No, I was kind of thinking like, no, but I don't even believe in this theory, but I was kind of thinking like, you know, you're kind of like trying to get laid, but the options aren't great. And you're kind of, it's just like a shitty situation. You've stayed out too late, you know, but I don't like that. I like your explanation more.
Very interesting. I like it was... The difficult part, yeah, it makes sense. But what if I tell you that you actually did fuck the devil's bum? You actually made it.
Oh.
Tu as réussi. Like, it's so difficult, but you were actually able to do it.
Oh, you did the impossible. You pulled off the impossible. You did what... Because, so I was onto something. Because the le diable, you know, it's fucking burning hell down there. He's never cold. So you pulled off the impossible. That's it. That's my answer.
Okay. I want to say bravo, but... tabarnak. Je vais mettre les choix de réponse. Alors, est-ce que c'est... Attends. Est-ce que c'est... un, essayer de tricher. Deux, être désespéré sexuellement. 3. Agir au moment propice.
Être ou 4.
Agir de façon méchante envers quelqu'un.
So, number 2 is actually what I described. Number 2 is pretty much what I described.
Really? What, to be completely desperate sexually?
Yeah, it's kind of like you're going for bad options,
okay.
So 2 was kind of what I described, actually. Essayer de tricher.
Agir au moment
propice. Oh, essayer de tricher. Wow, that's...
Like to try. Hey, t'es en train d'essayer de baiser le cul du diable quand il est fret, là? Est-ce que t'es en train de tricher?
Agir au moment propice.
Agir au moment propice, what does that mean? Does that mean like to react?
It means to act at the right moment. Like, you're not
lui
missing
là,
the chance.
Lui-là, il a baisé le cul du diable quand il était fret.
That's gotta be it.
I reckon that's what it is.
I'll give you number 3, just for the sake of sticking with what I said earlier. I'll go with number 2, even though I think it's probably number 3.
Okay. So you would number 2. Paul.
Ouais.
T'hésites encore?
Non, moi pour moi c'est ouais agir au moment propice en mode hey il y a un truc incroyable, une opportunité professionnelle incroyable qui est arrivée, ça se passe bien, tu dis ah là hey t'as su baiser le cul du diable quand c'était fret là, c'est it's like oh you were able to I mean the translation is amazing, you were able to fuck the devil but up the ass when he was cold.
Yeah,
it's like it
has to be.
You
that.
Got the opportunity. You got it.
The gap was so small, but you were actually able. You made it for the chance you had.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
You made it for the chance you had. So yeah.
Oh shit.
So you were actually wrong. You were totally wrong.
I was totally wrong to start with. Yeah.
It's actually the opposite.
What was my initial thing?
Être en difficulté.
Oh yeah, to be on être en difficulté. Ouais.
So that's what it is.
No.
And yeah. The time I've heard it is I was in a car with someone on the highway and there was like 2 trucks going like one in the back of each other and my friend wanted to slip in between the trucks and it was literally impossible.
Why would you ever want to slip between 2 trucks?
But because he wanted to change lanes. Like they were in the middle lane, he was on the left lane and he needed to exit. So he goes, there will like the perfect timing is impossible unless one of the trucks put on the brakes a while and one of the trucks did and he slipped in between and then he went like dude J'ai vraiment baisé le cul du diable pendant qu'il est fret. And I was like, what? J'ai agi au bon moment.
Apparently, in English, this makes sense. We say we strike the iron when it's hot.
Yeah, but that's way less, you know, imagé.
It's, I mean, it's much less visual.
I mean, it's already a decent expression, honestly. Like, we've set the standard quite high. Like, strike the iron when it's hot. It's like, it's just something almost poetic about that, you know? But, baiser le cul du diable.
I fuck the devil's ass quand when it's cold. It's a good one.
Et
all right.
La dernière expression, and we're talking about something poetic. This one, c'est de la vraie poésie, mesdames et messieurs. Alors, au Québec, quand on dit à quelqu'un, ou quand on dit « se dépoussiérer le Jean-Guy ».
I have
like,
no guess.
No translation for that one. Se dépoussiérer no le Jean-Guy.
Right, dépoussiérer means to undust. Yeah, to dust.
To dust, to remove the dust. So to dust, essentially.
To
undust something.
Le Jean-Guy, I imagine it means your penis.
Le Jean-Guy, so that's just somebody's name? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah, well, it's someone's name, but whose name is it normally?
Jean-Guy.
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 Se dépoussiérer le Jean-Guy. I reckon it means... Right, no, I'm going to let you guess, because I'm guessing before you. Go. What do you guess it means?
Okay. It's getting laid for the first time in a long time. It's like... Jean-Guy,
he's got a bit of dust on him.
Right, accumulating dust after such a long time. So it's the end d'une période de sécheresse.
That's what I was going with, yeah. Rolly?
We agree.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the chat to see, like some people said, se branler.
Faire pleurer.
Mika, se sortir les doigts du cul. Mais qu'est-ce que tu faisais avec les doigts dans ton cul, déjà? Je comprends pas, se sortir les doigts du cul.
Masturbation, people are saying... c'est dépuceler, so to have sex for the first time. I'm still going, it seems sexual, actually, yeah. Faire pleurer le cyclope. Yeah, but faire pleurer le cyclope, to make the cyclops cry, I think that just means to have sex in general or to masturbate. Like, it's not like after a long time. Like, for me, this is like a long time coming.
I'm really solid on my guess for the first time.
I think I'm going with you for that guess.
Well, guys, it's the right answer.
Hey, yes!
Like, you guys nailed it. And again, the name of the person, fine. Le nom de la personne est important. Parce que tu dis, je me suis dépoussiéré le Jonathan. Non, ça marche pas. C'est vraiment le Jean-Guy. Like le Jean-Guy.
Ou genre, se dépoussiérer le Nathan, par exemple. Ça n'a aucun sens parce que ça arriverait jamais.
Est-ce qu'on peut l'utiliser? Can we use it in other contexts? Like, hey, I haven't done a live, happy hour live in like 1 year. And it's like, oh shit, I'm finding my feet again. Like, I don't know, je suis en train de me dépoussiérer le Jean-Guy. Non, Jean-Guy, c'est vraiment la bite. Hein.
I've heard it only in a sexual manner.
Okay.
Well, have you ever met a Jean-Guy?
Dude, we only have 5 Jean-Guy on my street. I see.
No! No way. Jean-Guy, c'est vraiment un prénom incroyable, j'adore.
Jean-Guy, nom de famille, Tremblay. Jean-Guy Tremblay, là.
Jean-Guy Tremblay.
Oh là là, wow.
Nice, dude.
Good job, guys. So, c'était les 3 expressions de la journée, de ce beau mois de novembre. Sad month of November.
It's alright, don't be sad.
Why a sad month?
I don't know, je sais pas. Non, c'est pas sad, c'est très great.
Est-ce que bah, peut-être c'est le moment pour dévoiler un petit peu ce qui se passe dans ta vie personnelle. Peut-être il y a des trucs tristes qui se passent et on est là pour toi, tu sais. On est là pour.
Non, moi ça va. Moi ça va.
What's going on, Ronnie? What's
the news? Non, ça va, tabarnak. Okay. Ouais,
ça va, mais pourtant, c'est un novembre plutôt triste.
Ouais, c'est plus un petit temps gris, là, tu sais, il pleut un peu, you know, là, tu sais.
Rolly,
I'm very happy, guys. I'm very, extremely happy, extremely happy.
Rolly, do you not have a show coming up?
Yes, I have a show coming up. People from Montreal, Quebec, I will be presenting my one-hour show Été les Lumières à Terrebonne, tout près de Montréal, le 3 décembre prochain à 20h au Foutoir Comedy Club, guys. Allez sur rollyassal.com. Write it down, Paul. Ouais, allez,
ah, j'avais mis ton Instagram. Calice.
Ouais, mais sur mon Instagram, c'est parfait parce que sur Instagram, il y a le there's a link that brings you to another link that will bring you to another link to the link to buy the tickets within the link. So it's all about links. Juste là, ici. Go follow me on Instagram. Venez me voir en spectacle. Sinon, je sais pas moi. Juste écrivez-moi. OK?
Just write to me. I'm fucking lonely. All by myself.
I love you, Céline.
Esti. All right, dude.
If on you're in,
ouais, ben on se voit bientôt. If you come in fucking January, yeah. Puis sinon, on se voit bientôt quand même là.
Mais tu veux pas, gars, écrivez dans le chat. Dites-moi, Paul, tu veux pas venir 4-5 jours à Montréal, 2, 3, 4, 5 décembre. Why don't you come to my show? Hein? Pourquoi c'est tout le temps moi qui veux aller en France? Pourquoi toi tu viens juste 4 jours? Là, tu vas dire, oh, ouais, mais I have a kid.
Just so you know, he has opened his calendar. So he is actually considering this. Unless he's acting right now. No, he's faking it.
I'm going to London on December 1st, and I get back from London on December 5th.
So, impossible. Impossible, c'est pas français, mais impossible en ce cas.
Dude.
C'est correct. At least I tried.
C'est correct. Look, but I'll come to one of your shows in Montreal. I promise. All right, dude.
Écoute, avec toi, Paul, j'ai essayé de baiser le cul du job quand il fait fret, mais c'est impossible. Ton calendrier est impossible à bouger.
This is true. All right,
talk
dude.
To you soon, guys. Yeah, Nathaniel, it was a pleasure. Show. Thank you so much.
Dude.
You know, it was a pleasure for me, too. I just want to say it's been a little while, but, you know, I didn't forget about you. And this was this was a wonderful thing. I hope there will be a fourth episode where I get to learn more.
Québécois. Mate, there will always be more expressions episodes.
Because this is nice, and yes. I can't make it out to the show, but maybe one day it would be nice. You didn't even ask for me to come out, but you know, maybe one day, I don't know, whatever.
Or you come to London, the 28th of January.
That could happen.
He's opening for me.
That could happen
in London City.
Okay.
I like that idea.
All right, dude.
Perfect, guys. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks very much. See you later. Bisous bye. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Rolly Assal. Wait, where's my applause button? No. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for part one of the show. Part two, as I said before, is going to be available on patreon.com/PaulTaylor. I have not yet put the link on patreon.com. I will put the link on patreon.com. As soon as I finish this, I forgot to put it on, which will give us time to go piss and maybe order some food.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
We will eat during part two. So Patreon, we will see you. In a couple of minutes. You will get an email, Patreon, the people on Patreon, in a couple of minutes with the link to the fucking part two. And then we're free to chat about whatever you want. If you're not joining us for part two, thank you for being here.
It was lovely.
Nate, where can we find you? Where's the best place to find your stuff? Is it Instagram? Is it YouTube?
You know, like, at this stage, I think that if you're meant to cross paths with me, it'll happen naturally. You know, it'll happen by itself.
All right. I like that. I like that.
Otherwise, you could just look up Nathaniel Drew on YouTube. But
Nathaniel Drew on YouTube. There
but
you go.
Otherwise, you know, it'll happen. It'll happen.
You know? All right, dude. I was going to put all your shit up on the screen, but it's fine. We don't have time anymore. Right. Go follow Nathaniel Drew on all of the social medias. He puts everything on there. And Patreon, we will see you in 5 minutes. The time for me to create the link to put it on the website and all that kind of stuff. And the rest of you, thank you for being here. Nate, do an outro phrase and I will do the jingle.
My outro phrase? Just anything I want?
Yeah, just some sort of phrase and I will have the jingle that goes, pow, pow, pow. Thank you for watching, Paul Taylor. No pressure.
It's been a pleasure.
watching Paul Taylor's Happy Hour Live. See you dickhead soon for another episode.